Big show for you here today. Dalton Del Don joins me to preview the three holiday games here. We've got two games on Christmas Day. We've got Chiefs and Steelers. What are we expecting out of a potentially surging Xavier Worthy? And what does Marquise Brown bring to this Chiefs wide receiver room? And George Pickens, do we expect him back on the other side? And where does he rank among fantasy wide receivers? Then we talk to the Ravens offense and some injuries on that side, in addition to some injuries on the Texans side, and where we're ranking Nico Collins, both for this week and for 2025. Lastly, we finish it up with a preview of Thursday Night Football, Seahawks at Bears. Mercifully, the final time we're going to have to watch the Bears in an island game. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, December 24th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Merry Christmas Eve to all who are listening, to all who participate in Christmas. If you don't, it's still a hell of a day to talk ball, because it's always a hell of a day to talk ball. And it's especially a hell of a day to talk ball here on Christmas Eve with a big, fat holiday slate to discuss, to preview the whole deal. Joining me to do just that is my good friend, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Merry Christmas, Harmon, and to all of our listeners. I know you've been wondering all weekend, Harmon, but I'll just tell you, the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast won its matchup, and we are representing this podcast in the battle of all the podcasts across Yahoo in the Fantasy Championship, as we should be, since this is a fantasy football show. But I know you were very concerned about that, but we moved on, and we're to the championship.
Well, as I told you, when you drafted the team, I was like, this is such a Dalton Del Don team. This is absolutely perfect. So you know what? Really, shout out to you, Dalton. It's a great team. It's your team. It's a very Del Don-esque team. I mean, isn't Jake Moody the kicker? I mean, originally was the kicker of this team. That's how much this was a Del Don team. So yeah, it's got your fingerprints all over it, buddy. I am merely just a shadowy figure in the background.
Yeah, good times. Jaden Daniels went. I was actually tempted to go with my guy Richardson over Daniels in that tough matchup, but thankfully stuck with Daniels, who put on his signature performance. 5 touchdowns against the league's best defense. 3rd player ever, 75 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. So yeah, a lot of cool performances this past weekend.
There was a lot of cool performances in Week 16. But on this show, we're going to turn the page to Week 17. This is a very special edition of the pod. It's also a very straightforward edition of the show. We're going to just preview the three games coming up here in the next couple of days. We're going to preview the Christmas Day games. We're also going to discuss Thursday Night Football. That's a big matchup where there's certainly a lot of interesting fantasy players all over the place between Seahawks, Bears. But let's talk about the Christmas Day games first, Dalton. Got two games here to discuss, starting with Chiefs at Steelers. The Chiefs are 14-1. The Steelers are 10-5, coming off a loss last Saturday to the Baltimore Ravens that puts the division very much in question. Let's start talking this game through when the Chiefs have the ball. What did you see from the Chiefs last Saturday, and what are we kind of projecting for this game here?
Split backfield. Looks like Kareem Hunt is a favorite at the goal line. This is no fun for fantasy managers. Nice to see Hollywood Brown back. 8 targets on just 15 routes. But my main guy I want to talk about with you, Harmon, is Xavier Worthy. Entered week 16 with the 3rd highest uncatchable air yards percentage, behind only Rome Odunze and Amari Cooper. And that a lot of that came from when he was with the Browns. A couple weeks ago, Hayden Winks tweeted it out, and I almost brought it up to you. All the missed throws and the near touchdowns. Worthy had 2 more near missed touchdowns last week, and he would have been the wide receiver 6 at the time had he completed those. Obviously, a silly exercise, but they're wide open plays that Mahomes is missing, which he has routinely done. For whatever reason, Mahomes has been inaccurate downfield. Now we've seen Worthy with the post-rookie bye bump getting double-digit targets in back-to-back games. So yes, he has plenty of work to do as a route runner, but can Worthy be used in fantasy matchups? I mean, the volume has been there. The running game hasn't been successful. And Worthy, even if it's just gadgetry, one of these times he's going to connect on these big plays as well. So definitely his fantasy arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Patrick Mahomes as a deep passer. You know, it hasn't been good this year. He's been one of the least effective, if not the least effective, deep passer in Pro Football this year. In terms of like completion percentage, according to Pro Football Focus on passes of 20 plus yards, he ranks 27 out of 27 qualifying quarterbacks that played 50% of their team snaps with a 25.6% completion rate, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's not been accurate. He's not been consistently on time with some of these deep throws. Now, I think some of it is, you know, just miscommunication things as well with him and Worthy particularly. Like, it seems like he expects Worthy to be here. Maybe he's not fully there. I mean, I'm sure some of this is on the rookie receiver as well, beyond just, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league kind of just having a bit of an off year from a deep passing perspective. But to talk about Worthy particularly, you mentioned, like, is this some of this gadgetry? I would say, Dalton, and I've brought this up on a few shows lately, that I think he's actually taken a step forward as a player, particularly against man coverage, as Xavier Worthy. Now, I joked earlier in the year on Football 301 that he has basically so far in the NFL been the meme of, like, the negative version of the player that you would expect, right? Where he just goes down on first contact way too easily, he doesn't win contested catches, and he just gets swallowed up by press coverage. Some of that stuff is still true, but they have done a very good job, I think, of purposefully putting him in positions to, you know, win some of the routes against man coverage that he's really good at. Some of these deep overs, really, like, quicker slants. That's where I think I was most kind of disappointed by Worthy's usage early in the year, based on the prospect that I charted in college, was that they didn't do enough to just get him on these very, like, layup, quick-hitting routes where he can run after the catch in open field. Like, he's never going to break tackles like Rashee Rice or even, you know, like, the current version of Juju Smith-Schuster. He's not that type of player. He's truly just not built like that. But I think they've done a good job of scheming him into positions to get him open against man. And he's done a good job, I think, just having a better feeling and timing and rhythm with his routes. Like, he wasn't a bad route runner in college. I think the size limitations often showed up for him. I think the size limitations will always show up for him, but he has looked like a much more, like, I thought at times this year, he wasn't really like a playable, functional starting receiver. I no longer think that. Like, now I think he's very much a viable starter for this team.
Yeah, back-to-back weeks, 11 targets. Travis Kelce seems to be in full decline mode at this point. Looks like possibly no Joey Porter Jr. in the short week. He looks unlikely to play in this game. That would be helpful. Not that he's going to shadow Worthy. But the Chiefs do have issues on offense. Their left tackle and right tackle questionable to play. We'll get to the defensive side, but Chris Jones is unlikely to play in this game. Worthy's definitely moving in the right direction, but because we haven't seen Hopkins emerge as we thought after he was just traded. Again, Kelsey's fading. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Worthy has suddenly become the most interesting fantasy player here with the backfield splitting work.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, he's a must start in fantasy football championships or anything like that is Xavier Worthy, but I think he's in line for a pretty good game here. You know, BetMGM has his receiving prop total at like 43.5, which is a number he's very rarely cleared this year, but I think that he's got a shot to get it in this game, to go over, like, just at least go over 50 yards or something like that. When this team faces single high coverage, according to fantasy points data, you know, it's really like these are some of the Hopkins plays that they've taken, and the Steelers are the most single high team in the league. Hopkins leads all Chiefs pass catchers with 2.22 yards per route run against single high coverage, which, by the way, isn't even like that's not that much. Sometimes you're going to get some of those bigger plays. It really hasn't been. I mean, he's got a just under 12 yards per reception against single high coverage, but they've been some efficient plays when they go to Hopkins in those looks. So again, I don't even think Hopkins is necessarily a fantasy starter either. 34.5 projected receiving line for him via BetMGM. But I could see them trying to get some of those plays going to him in ISO coverage, especially if Joey Porter doesn't play, because I would imagine if Porter does play, he probably is going to see most of Hopkins on the other side of the field.
Yeah, I think Worthy does move into a fringe wide receiver 3 type play if needed this week, and definitely someone I'll be interested in 2025 fantasy drafts. My only final thought on the Chiefs for you, Harmon, is I read a note on Mahomes the other day that was eye-opening, if not still obvious, but we all just kind of instinctively realize he runs more in the playoffs. I wish I had marked the exact stat, but it's something like his scramble rate triples or quadruples in the fourth quarter of close games. And it's just, it matches the eye test. And that's why it's so impossible to stop. And winning all these one score games, yes, they may be getting lucky in some aspects, but it's because, you know, you have the greatest quarterback when needed to produce points on the field. So high ankle sprain last week, dude has what most rushing yards in a game and a 15-yard rushing score. It's funny to ever doubt Mahomes, but this is a tough test for all these teams are obviously playing in the short rest together. They're scheduled, but they're playing three games in 11 days. I mean, this is definitely, we're probably not going to see grade A football, you know, with all these injuries in these short weeks.
Probably not. And it's funny, like you mentioned the Patrick Mahomes, like the scrambles on third down, it's just scrambles and things like that, tripling. Really, the key for him has been third down this year. Among quarterbacks on third down, he is a sixth in adjusted yards per attempt. And that doesn't even take in the scrambling, just from a passing perspective. Right. He's been unbelievable on third down. Ironically, the guy just ahead of him is actually Russell Wilson, 8.8 adjusted yards per attempt on third down. From an EPA per dropback perspective, it's even better. He's third among quarterbacks behind only Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff and EPA per dropback on third down, because that does bring in some of the scrambles. I think I could actually look at it from like a total EPA added on scrambles on third down. Yeah, he's second behind only Jalen Hurts. So yeah, it's like the Chiefs offense has been a little disappointing. I would say it's actually quite disappointing. If you think back to what it could have been with Rashee Rice, with a healthy Hollywood Brown, and just like sprinkling in some Xavier Worthy. I mean, yeah, I did a video in the summer saying like Rashee Rice is going to catch 110 passes or 105 passes in this setup. I think he would have smashed that total actually. But now that we've got Marquise Brown out there, I do want to just ask you about him. Like with Mahomes, some of these peripheral stats, especially on third down, playing well, I thought Hollywood Brown immediately, he didn't make like a big statistical splash or anything, but I think he immediately made a difference in this offense, primarily in the areas that I wanted to see him make a difference, which is some of those more true receiver reps, like on the perimeter. Do we think that he is somebody that people could consider starting? He's obviously not going to have a lot of instructive data to look at just because it's a one game sample, but what do we think about Hollywood Brown in this Chiefs offense right now?
Yeah, 8 targets on 15 routes is pretty encouraging. Just very preliminary here, but he's like my wide receiver 40. So just behind Worthy, kind of a fringe if needed, you know, wide receiver 3. If you're in a deeper league, I would like to aim higher in my fantasy championship for a guy coming off 15 routes in his first game. But obviously encouraging for this team, getting healthier in the playoffs. I mean, they're dealing with some banged up guys now, but Jones shouldn't be down long. You got Hollywood Brown back. I think that they could obviously make a run, but trading for Hopkins, I know the offense has looked bad, but Pacheco maybe round into form. They're getting some bodies at the right time of the year, and Worthy will probably be a better player he was the final month of the year than he was the first month.
No, that's a really good call out. And I should also note, too, a couple things. One, in the game in Week 16, you're right that Hollywood Brown only ran 15 routes, but he took 42% of his snaps from the slot, so that was encouraging. And Xavier Worthy, he actually took 56.4% of his snaps from the slot, which feels like it's got to be one of the higher marks for him. And that just makes so much sense to me. Like, obviously, from a size perspective, you want him on the inside. I think that's going to help him on some of those man coverage reps. 56.4%, just looking at it right now, is the highest slot rate for him. Games before that, he was like 37%, 32%, 23%, 19%. I do think that this is a big deal for him. The slot snaps going up, I think that's going to make him even more efficient. So yeah, I like your call about, like, I think Brown is probably not somebody you really want to start, but I think he makes a difference with his offense. Whereas meanwhile, yeah, Worthy might be a very good wide receiver 3. This is not a perfect comparison, but just small, speedy receivers. I like the way that the Ravens use Zay Flowers to like get into open space against this Steelers defense, like down the field, like some of those big wide open shots when there are issues in the secondary, when they're playing their single high coverage looks. And I could certainly see Xavier Worthy being used in a similar way.
One other note, when the Chiefs have the ball, the Steelers were a top 5 run defense in EPA per rush over the first 9 weeks, bottom 5 since week 9. So that would be something that Pacheco and Hunt could do anything. But again, they're you're not using them in fantasy. It's too much of a mixed split there on an inefficient run game.
Yeah, man, the Pacheco stuff is such a bummer because I think it was easy to say, and I'm sure we said it on this show, like, man, when he comes back, that's it's gonna be a big deal for this run unit because they have been so not explosive. Just doesn't look like himself, you know, and that's a bummer. Yeah. That's a bummer because he should be having a pretty big performance at this point. Okay, let's talk about when the Steelers have the ball. The good news is, Dalton, it sounds like they are going to have George Pickens in this game. And boy, oh boy, is it 1 week too late for my fantasy teams, but it is a big deal for George Pickens and this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. I think we can say for sure after the last 2 weeks, they're just not the same team when he's not on the field.
Yeah, you love splits, Harmon. I got a couple for you. First, the Chiefs on-off splits on defense since Jalen Watson went down have been dramatic defending the pass. But I'll give you Russell Wilson's splits without George Pickens. 167.7 passing yards per game. The QB 26 in fantasy. And with Pickens, 271 passes. So more than 100 yards more per game. And he's been the QB 10 with George Pickens in the lineup. So dramatic difference for fantasy and obviously on the real field. Chris Jones, I read, leads the NFL in pressures. I know each data provider is different here, but that's pretty impressive for a tackle. So him missing this game will help the entire Pittsburgh offense. And he looks highly unlikely to play given the short week. So, yeah, Pickens, that's great news. It was unclear by the time we were recording this, so it's great if the news is optimistic for Pickens because he's an argument. He's been one of the most valuable players on a non-quarterback on offense when you look at how dramatic it's been with him on off the field.
Chiefs play man coverage at the seventh highest rate, according to Fantasy Points data. Russ and George Pickens have been extremely productive against man coverage. So you would imagine, especially if they do have injuries in the secondary, that they're going to get some shots off to George Pickens in this game. Now, they play a lot of like single high coverage, so maybe they'll try to put a lid on this, Steelers, George Pickens, Russell Wilson connection. That being said, though, I think forget about some of the obvious deep highlights with George Pickens and the go routes and things like that. Where he's made the biggest difference for Russ and I think impressed me the most is his work against press man coverage off the line of scrimmage on slant routes in particular. That's where I think he's taking the best step as a player. And if I'm, if I'm Arthur Smith, if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm trying to pepper George Pickens on like five or so slant routes in this game just to potentially, one, keep the offense moving on later downs, and two, maybe get him in space and make some yards after catch magic there because he could certainly do that. Obviously, we don't know. He's not, probably not going to be 100% in this game, but I do really like the idea of him getting targets against man on some of those in-breaking routes.
Yeah, and if Pickens is active, we're using him in fantasy leagues. I mean, Tank Dell was doing work before the unfortunate injury last week. This Kansas City secondary has taken a step back since that Watson injury. And then Pittsburgh's backfield, unfortunately, is just like Kansas City's, Najee Harris splitting work with Jalen Warren. I mean, I'm going to rank Jalen Warren higher this week. He played 40 snaps last week compared to just 17 for Harris. Yes, game script played a role, but the Chiefs are favorites and it might be a similar game script. Najee Harris is barely running any routes. Yeah. So if they are playing from behind, that's a problem. You've always been a Jalen Warren guy. It's not a stretch to rank Warren even in half PPR higher this week, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I could totally see that. And I just think, like, Najee Harris, you got to have a better option at this point in your fantasy championship.
You're just banking on a goal line touchdown with him. I mean, no explosions. You're just banking on the score.
That's it. And, I mean, maybe the run game is better with no Chris Jones in the middle of that defense. That's certainly possible. But, I mean, even since, like, week 13, this is still one of the better run defenses in the league. They're 12th in rushing success rate allowed. There are certainly not, like, a ton of big eruption spots from a ground game perspective. But Chris Jones not being there could certainly be part of the equation here. You mentioned Tank Dell getting loose, which, God, that really sucks, just to his injury. We found out today, we didn't have an update on Sunday, but we found out today that it is a dislocated kneecap and a torn ACL. So, D'Amico Ryan's announced that literally like I think right when I was like walking up the stairs to come and record this podcast today on Monday. So that sucks for him. It's going to be a minute till we see like the best version of Tank Dell, but we'll talk about the Texans here in a little bit because they're the next game up. But he was definitely getting loose on some of those plays that the Chiefs have struggled to defend, like some of the slot stuff, some of the downfield routes from the slot, things like that. Is this like a Calvin Austin moment for this team? Anything like that?
You're asking me, I'm not using any of those guys. No, not in this. Austin was an interesting DFS play without Pickens, but no, we're not using him in our fantasy championship here. No Pickens would increase Freiermuth, but to me, the only person I'm really interested is Pickens if he's active. No, I can't see it. Even I get the weaknesses in Kansas City secondary, but no, we're not turning to Calvin Austin with our fantasy championship on the line.
Just got a heat checky here, Dalton. You know, sometimes he brings some spicy stuff to the table. I don't know. You know, you never know. Maybe a little Calvin Austin. I don't think so. Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, let's move on to the next game here. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I think we know pretty much the good options here for this game. The next game is a little bit more interesting, but we will talk about that right after this. All right, we're back. Next game to talk through, the 4:30 p.m. Eastern game here on Christmas Day. Baltimore Ravens, the 10-5 Baltimore Ravens at Houston to take on the Texans, who are 9-6. This is going to be interesting, Dalton. Let's talk about when the Ravens have the ball. I sort of jokingly said this to Andy yesterday, that even in a game where the Ravens, for the most part, kind of not had their way with Pittsburgh, but you know, pretty convincing win, in my opinion. They looked like the much better team. I still always feel like the Ravens offense leaves just a little bit on the table from a pass game perspective, but it was a super successful outing for Lamar, for most of these guys, outside of like a miscommunication with Rashad Bateman where he threw his interception. He was pretty much ideal throughout the course of this game. So heading into this matchup with Houston, what do we want to see?
We're worried about injuries here. Can Zay Flowers suit up? Justice Hill is probably going to miss this game, obviously. Maybe some more targets for Derrick Henry. But Zay Flowers is the question mark here. Does Bateman become an interesting option? Mark Andrews, I believe, scored 4 straight games, and Andrews would become possibly top 5 tight end if no Flowers here. Likely would become an option in deeper leagues, or you know, cheap DFS or something. You're going to get maybe more Henry earlier in the games if Flowers can't go. But Flowers is important here because Bateman suited up last week, but he was in a boot the game before. We're not sure how healthy he is. Aguilar is dealing with an injury too. So on this short week, I think what's really important in this game is Zay Flowers' status.
Yes, that's the big one. No, obviously no idea if he's going to end up playing or not, but if he doesn't, that would certainly open up more room for Rashad Bateman, who, yeah, he had the one touchdown, but that was his only reception, and it was just kind of like a well-designed play where the Steelers, kind of inexperienced younger defensive backs, bit on the player in the flat, and then Bateman just had an easy kind of outbreaker for the touchdown there. But if there is no Zay Flowers, which, you know, hopefully there is, but if there's not, it is worth noting the Ravens are a little bit weird. Talked about this a lot this year, where typically the perimeter, like the perimeter outside X receiver, is not the one who goes off against like single high coverage. But that is the case with the Ravens, where Rashad Bateman has a 19 yards per reception when the Ravens face two high safeties. He's right there tied with like air yard share, just total air yards with Zay Flowers, but he's connected on a lot more big plays with Lamar Jackson. He leads the team with 380 yards when the team faces two high safeties, and the Texans give up the second highest fantasy points per dropback when they play two high safeties, and they're a little like split in terms of single and two high. They do a lot of different things on the back end, but if Bateman has to be the lead receiver here, I would look for some shot plays on the outside there.
Slot corner Jimmy Ward suffered an injury last week. He's out. Bateman played 50 snaps last week, so he was out there. Two of his 3 targets were in the red zone. That's obviously pressure. Houston's pretty good at applying pressure rate. But the key here for fantasy is that can we get Zay Flowers on the field and hopefully he's healthy? And if not, absolutely Bateman could be an option as a sleeper this week.
Yeah, but man, Zay Flowers, if there's no Jimmy Ward, if there's like a lot of openings there in the middle, you would imagine this could be a pretty big Zay Flowers game. He was very vocal. Like he was wide open when Lamar threw that pick, and you could see he was pissed he didn't get that target. So hopefully Zay can play in this game. I think both of these games are going to be pretty low scoring, Dalton. Honestly, I don't foresee a lot of like shootouts brewing between either of these two teams, certainly not in this one here, because you're right, the biggest question here is just if there's no Justice Hill, Like, do we see more Keaton Mitchell, or is this really a moment where Derrick Henry's actually going to get some targets out of the backfield? Because he hasn't scored a touchdown in, what, like five games or something like that as Derrick Henry. But, man, if he can – even if he doesn't score a touchdown, get him a few targets here, he's still going to have a massive performance in people's fantasy football finals.
Yeah, it is. The last four games, 5 weeks, but five more carries in the red zone, three inside the 10. So he's due for touchdown regression. And if we have the banged up Flowers, yes, expect Henry to hit pay dirt this weekend. And this game is actually the highest over-under among the three that we're talking at, just 46.5. So, yeah, I'm expecting more lower scoring games between the ones we're previewing here today. With the Ravens, the ones you want, though. I mean, they're projected to score the most, and Henry will probably lead the way. I'm with you. Henry might hit pay dirt two times this week to get back on track.
I mean, that would just make sense if that was what was going to happen. Since week 13, the Texans are 21st in rushing success rate allowed, so you can definitely imagine some good plays on the ground for Derrick Henry and the boys. On the Texans side of things here, like I mentioned earlier, no Tank Dell. Obviously, he's gonna just be... God, that's going to be a long road back. I don't know when we're going to see. I hate to say it, but we might never see the rookie year version of Tank Dell after multiple serious lower body injuries in back-to-back seasons. We certainly didn't see that guy this year. Now a torn ACL in December, almost the end of the season. He's probably like a candidate to start the year on PUP next year, which is just, it sucks. That's unfortunate. But we'll see what happens with him going forward. For now, it leaves behind basically Nico Collins and a big gaping hole behind him in the receiver room.
Yeah, boy, I'll say Nico Collins, 32-year-old Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, who ranks 187th NFL in yards per route run. John Mechie. Yeah, it's not good. Oh, the news gets even worse, Harmon. The Ravens, an EPA allowed per dropback, ranked 28th through week 9. They rank first since week 10. Their pass defense has completely turned around. So they looked like a matchup to target big time. The best matchup to target in fantasy or DFS was opposing Baltimore for passing offenses, just if not for the volume. And they also were struggling, but now they're playing really well. And Houston's pass catches are totally depleted. Bump up Dalton Schultz. He becomes a top 10 tight end this week. Nico Collins, how high are we ranking him next year? Obviously thinking of with Dell's unfortunate injury helps Collins' target projection. And if Diggs leaves, I mean, Chase was going to win the Triple Crown, so it's going to be awfully hard to rank him not number one. And Jefferson's obviously maybe the best receiver, of our generation. So... Oh, but I mean, Collins, I'm still going to be debating those two. I'm closer to ranking him, top two than I am fourth.
Yeah. No, he'll be like a clear first round pick. I mean, I'm sure people are going to be taking running backs left and right just with the way this season went at wide receiver. But I would imagine he's going to be one of the top 12 players I want to draft next year is Nico Collins. And I mean, he's definitely going to be a top five receiver, I think, on the board this week. I'm glad you brought up the Ravens defense here, because I was just kind of looking into this, and man, it has made such a difference for like them to take, they basically took Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson out of the rotation here at safety. And they've played Kyle Hamilton so much more on the back end. And he is so good, man. Hamilton is number one, just keeps everything like right and tight from a communication standpoint, from a matchup dictation standpoint. He's got this defense playing like on the P's and Q's, which is great. I also think Zach Orr deserves a lot of credit for this as well. This defense they still play with a lot of tenacity, and now I think they tightened up the details there after mix-matching some personnel. But I still think you can get them over the middle of the field, which is, I still think Roquan Smith has had a bit of a weird season in coverage. Some of the linebackers in general are a little bit of an issue there, so maybe that does lead us to more Dalton Schultz, or Dalton on the other end of it, maybe we just see more of those like big Nico Collins in breaking routes in this game. Because yeah, I think it was a little overstated, like the perimeter receivers kind of taking advantage of Baltimore on some of these like downfield go routes, and they were really never giving those plays up, but what they were giving up was these like big in breaking routes and things like that. That's always been the Nico Collins, CJ Stroud specialty, so I'd imagine we see a lot of that here.
And Stroud plays better at home typically. There's just no other options. Mixon's probably going to struggle running the ball on a team that's horrible success rate in the first two downs. Man. So Nico is, I mean, he's over under might be a dozen targets here. Yeah, I'll be ranking him as my wide receiver 4 right now, even if Baltimore's defense has been playing better. I forget disrespect for Puka Nacua, by the way, who's going to be in the conversation next year of these. I mean, his putting up absurd first read target stuff. I mean, just crazy. So it will be fun to go back to the receiver well early next year. People are going to running back based off recency bias. But boy, it has been a fun year to draft these aging backs. Anyway, sad for CJ Stroud. He was just so broken up over losing Dell, and he's struggling his sophomore year despite Houston, you know, in the right division to make a playoff run. But this is going to be tough sledding with those receivers and a lack of running game. I mean, it's a tough matchup here for Stroud. You don't want him anywhere near your fantasy lineup this week.
It's worth saying this just because we're taping this at 2 p.m. on Monday. Deontay Johnson could get claimed by 4 p.m. I would say that two of the teams that I think are most likely to claim him are Houston and Kansas City, the two teams we just discussed here. Now, if it's Kansas City, I don't think he's going to play right. He wouldn't play right away. He'd play in the playoffs, something like that. But is there a chance that the Texans could claim Deontay Johnson? Because, my God, they need the perimeter wide receiver help if they're even going to trick themselves into thinking they're going to make a run here. I don't know that this team is ready to make a run, but if they think they are, and they could just be desperate enough to do it, I think he'd actually fit better in Kansas City's culture and sort of just like be able to function there better. That's just Andy Reid's always been able to get guys on in the program. And if not, okay, cool. Move it along. It doesn't matter to us one bit. You know, if you don't make an impact here, we'll be fine. Houston, I don't know if they're quite that team yet, although Stroud seems like a guy that people would really buy in for. I don't know. Could be a chance we see Deontay Johnson claimed here and maybe get some immediate reps against his I don't even know if I want to call him a former team in Baltimore, considering he made zero impact for that operation.
You said it perfectly. Kansas City would be a great ideal fit because of just the culture and they're used to that. Houston would be a better fit because of just so much an open opportunity there. And I actually meant to say when I was rattling off all the injuries in Baltimore that it's a team that could use Deontay Johnson right now with Aguilar, Bateman, and Flowers all dealing with injuries. But that would be awesome if Houston signs him. And for no other reason, at least get some does he even know the playbook or anything? Probably nothing to help out there. But yeah, that would be great just for the get a revenge game for Deontay.
A revenge game? I don't The Deontay Johnson stuff is so bad and so weird. But yeah, like you didn't want to go in the game when there were injuries.
Yeah, I'm used to that as my Niner guy too. That's a theme of this year. But if he had just waited a little longer, he could have been the number one wideout on Baltimore this week possibly.
I know, unbelievable. Patience is a virtue. Not to Deontay Johnson, but patience is a virtue. Before we move on and toss to Thursday Night Football, Dalton, producer Colin wants us to predict the Alvin Kamara Award. Just let's pick the player that's going to have the best fantasy day between these two games, like the Christmas miracle maker. You remember a couple years ago when Alvin Kamara, what do you have, like five, did he have like five touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings on Christmas Day? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say nobody scores five touchdowns, but Dalton, who's our favorite for the Alvin Kamara Award in this game?
Feels like Henry's due for scoring, man. He could take two or three to pay dirt with the banged up receivers there in the game script, playing with the lead with Houston's offense. It could be a Henry eruption.
Yeah, it's tough. I really want to say number one, I'm with you on that. He would be the favorite. If we're doing betting odds.
Yeah, I'm not going on a limb here. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Dalton, you're playing it safe, bro. Come on. You're playing it safe with this Derrick Henry thing.
Nico could catch 12 balls and 150 yards, two touchdowns,
see?
Too. I like Nico. Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking Nico could be it. Again, some of the communication issues with the linebackers there. A couple zone coverage looks where Nico Collins is just wide open over the middle of the field, yards after catch. Downfield stuff. I am a little concerned about, I mean, as I always am with CJ Stroud behind this offensive line, but there was at least enough time for him to get rolling against Kansas City last game. I would also say, if we're talking all the way back in the first game here, Dalton, I would say George Pickens should be nominated for this as well. Like, he should be on the betting odds list because, man, he just is, I think, set up to win in the exact way that Kansas City struggles in terms of some of those outside receivers against man coverage. They use a lot of man coverage. Can these current corners, as you mentioned, after the Jalen Watson injury, can they hang with George Pickens in coverage? Can they also do some stuff to move Pickens around? Because they have done that this year. Now, especially with Van Jefferson and Mike Williams on the outside there, if they trust those guys a little more, get George Pickens some slot reps, you know, rip like a corner route from the slot or something like that, a sail route on play action. I could see Pickens having a pretty monster Christmas Day game as well.
Those are the three best candidates for sure. And as I've been saying, targeting Jalen Watson's side of the field in Kansas City has been money ever since he went down, and Pickens could take advantage of that. So those are the three best candidates, even including the game we haven't talked about yet. Pickens, Big Dog, or Collins are the best three options to go nuts over this three-game slate.
All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, we will preview Thursday Night Football, the day after Christmas, a little Boxing Day special. Let's talk through that game right after this break. All right, Dalton, we're back. Let's talk through Thursday Night Football here. Seahawks 8-7, Bears 4-11. This is the Shane Waldron sort of like connective tissue special game here, if you want to give it a name, which is a stupid name. But nevertheless, it's what we're doing anyways. So Seahawks are 3.5-point road favorites. I don't feel really good about the Seahawks right now, Dalton, to be honest with you, other than Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I feel great about that. I'm sure we'll talk about him in a second. But otherwise, I leave this Minnesota Vikings game in week 16 pretty disturbed by where the Seahawks offense is right now. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, Geno Smith threw multiple touchdowns for the first time in six games last week, and that's a pass funnel matchup. He had his most pass attempts since week six. He does deserve credit for playing through that knee injury, though, like clearly hobbled. And he gets a Bears pass defense that's been the biggest fader from first season to the second half. Over the first 9 weeks, the Bears ranked first in EPA allowed. Since week nine, they ranked 27th before last week. I don't have the updated stats, but they've been fading big time there. So that's a plus for Smith. Not that we're going to trust him in fantasy lineups, but Metcalf, you know, squeaky wheel did get the grease there, but you know, he still JSN just dominates, leads the team in targets, receptions, and receiving yards seemingly every week. Bears have allowed the sixth most fantasy points to the slot. JSN has more catches than Justin Jefferson this season. I mean, it's JSN has emerged as the clear number one here. He's the weekly top 20, if not top 15 fantasy wideout. And Metcalf, you're just hoping he catches a touchdown every few weeks, basically, is what it's down to.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bears' pass defense continues to fall apart. I could certainly see DK Metcalf getting loose for a big play in this one. There's no question about that. But yeah, to me, JSN is in another great spot here in this game. He is just the clear-cut first-read target player. You just see it so many times, Dalton, and it was apparent a lot against the Vikings. As soon as Geno is under pressure, he is looking for number 11 because he's the most consistently open player right now. And it's not even close in terms of like who is open the most on this team. It is very far and away JSN. It's not Tyler Lockett at this point in his career. Lockett's like having, I hate to say this about Lockett because he's one of my, you know, all-time favorite RP guys. He's having like a mascot season out there. I know I've joked about that with Travis Kelce at times for the Chiefs. Like, is he just a mascot? I mean, Tyler Lockett's like just kind of a veteran leader mascot guy at this point for the Seahawks. And again, I hate saying that. Do not clip that for social. It makes me feel bad to say it. But nevertheless, it is just kind of where they're at. And then DK Metcalf has been such a volatile player. This is like not the first time this season that DK Metcalf and, you know, has been like on maybe at fault for a Geno Smith late game interception with like drifting on a route or taking it the wrong direction, maybe not being completely on the same page with Geno. He's had a very weird season. So I would imagine JSN is going to have a monster game in this one yet again.
Especially with running backs banged up. Kenneth Walker returned to a workhorse role last week, but he was set to get imaging done, and I would say he's unlikely to play as we sit here today. Unfortunate, Ken Walker would end his season leading the NFL in missed tackles forced per attempt. Charbonnet, I mean, what was named captain before the game and then had zero touches in the first half, finished with negative rushing yards. I mean, McIntosh was even getting touches. So maybe Charbonnet's oblique injury is going to hamper him. If not, you know, he's suddenly a top 15 option again against a struggling Bears run defense. I mean, if no canine. So that's what we need to pay attention to here is the health of Seattle's backfield as far as fantasy is concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you. As you sit here right now, I'd be a little bit surprised if Kenneth Walker played in this game. And yeah, the Zach Charbonnet stuff was weird, man. I don't know if you've seen any more on that. My guess is it was the oblique injury. And, you know, I think if you want to like psychoanalyze the whole team captain thing, which number one, as we have said, it is just not, it's just not, that doesn't matter. Andy had a good rant on that yesterday, like who's named the starter, captains, none of that stuff matters. However, maybe the Seattle Seahawks coaching staff is like, you know, Zach, we're going to make you active. We're going to make you captain, but like you, we're not going to risk you. You know, Kenneth Walker's back. So we'll make you a captain for this game if that makes you feel a little bit better, even though we're going to dial your role back. But man, I'll tell you from a football perspective, Dalton, it doesn't make any sense because I think Charbonnet, he's not their most explosive runner. Obviously, Walker is a much more explosive player, but I really think like when they're giving him a workhorse level touches, kind of just a full scale, like you lead the team, you lead the backfield, I think he was bringing like a nice rhythm tempo running perspective to this backfield. So yeah, man, I would be disappointed if we don't get a healthy dose of Charbonnet in this game. And I would imagine the only reason we wouldn't is because of health.
Yeah, Charbonnet was great when he replaced K-9. He was way better than I gave him credit for. Absolutely thought he was deserving of earning a bigger split of that backfield. And like I said, I think he could creep into top 15 if he becomes the cleared number one. Again, hopefully he's healthy with Walker out. You know that Reek Woolen was also benched for the opening drive that they allowed a passing touchdown to Jordan Addison, and then he returned to play. I think Seattle's coaching staff was unhappy with him criticizing some stuff in the media. Yeah, Geno, the touchdowns just haven't been there as we had hoped this year. And as far as fantasy this week, we're looking at JSN and possibly Charbonnet.
Yeah, let's hope we get some Charbonnet here because, yeah, I wouldn't be totally surprised just with the way that the Bears defense is playing right now. If we get an awesome bounce back game from Geno, we get a big game from JSN, and even Metcalf pops up a little bit here, and you know, maybe even some of the tight ends get involved. I wouldn't be surprised by that. It's just that's not how the games have played out lately for Seattle. Let's talk about things on the other side of it with Chicago. I don't know. This game, Dalton, I actually, if any of them was to shoot out and be like a high scoring game, I think this one would probably be it because Seattle, like I said, I think their offense is well positioned to take advantage of areas where Chicago has struggled. From a Bears perspective, they can give chase. Like when their offense is functional, when there's some protection here, we saw it last week against the Lions. Like they can give you a little bit of pushback and, you know, put up some stats on the other end. They're just obviously a difficult unit to trust in their own right.
Yeah, Caleb's been getting it done in fantasy terms, but it's been helpful negative game scripts, which I don't see him getting out to this one quite the same. Man, Caleb, the longest active current streak without an interception, the NFL rookie record. Andy Barron's beat me to this stat in yesterday's pod, but the most losses in a season without throwing a pick ever, not for a rookie, just period. He has been credited with a lost fumble three straight games, although maybe the last one was Adunze's fault. The last five games, Caleb, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 100 passer rating in 3 games. But then at times it looks like the offense can be just completely unfunctional, let alone dysfunctional. So I hear what you're saying. A possible shootout would be great. I'd love to see it. I love that Caleb also runs for fantasy too. Yeah, I'm still go back and forth on him. I mean, I just don't know what to make of Caleb Williams at this point, but he's been getting it done in the box score. This game, I fear the game script will be closer, and Seattle's past D's been playing pretty well. So I don't know. Slow pace. I worry that this one's another lower scoring game.
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, I think with just the way this offense is played or on balance, especially since like Thomas Brown has been promoted again. The wide receiver coach, which I think this wide receiver room has not been well coached. He's like the current offensive coordinator. As Nate pointed out, that
the Allen connection.
Yeah, he was right, Keenan Allen's wide receiver. He was the wide receiver coach for Chicago. He was Keenan Allen's wide receiver coach in LA. And he certainly noticed it again here where in week 16, he leads the team. Does Keenan Allen in targets per route run? He leads the team in receiving yards in terms of first read targets per fantasy points data. Looking at that, I mean, you know, DJ Moore got his like 3 designed targets. That's been happening a lot. He did lead the team in first read targets, but beyond DJ Moore with 41.7% because of those design targets, it was Keenan Allen with a 29% first read target share. So pretty interesting stuff there in terms of like, if you're using a Bears receiver, I think it's definitely DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. As much as I like to see Roma Dunze getting some slot, I'm interested in at least Nate's theory on him being like maybe a future power slot. He got some like real deal vertical routes from the slot in this game. Of course, has the worst catchable target percentage. I don't think he's a guy that you can trust right now in fantasy. If you're using a Bears receiver, it's definitely got to be Moore or Allen. Probably still, I don't know, maybe not even in that order, honestly.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about Allen. The Lions had been defending the slot really well, so I kind of pushed up DJ Moore last week. Then Allen somehow has 113 of his yards and 22 of his fantasy points came lined up outside last week when he secured the second longest touchdown catch of his career at this age. Allen has 26 targets, two touchdowns over the last two games. Yeah, I didn't see this coming the second half of the year, but just an absolute target hog. Speaking of Nate, I'm so upset because I've been workshopping this take and he beat me to it. That Odunze's struggles, Jalen Polk's struggles, Jalen McMillan's struggles, how good is Penix going to be? Even Ryan Grubb I was going to bring in too, who's had his up and downs as a play caller. So all of Penix's weapons, you know, in college have been kind of, you know, disappointing at the pro level. So let's see what Penix does. Maybe he was the one carrying them, but Nate Tice beat me to that take, and Penix didn't light it up this first week, but did a great job of avoiding sacks. And of course, Odunze could be a good football player saddled by this offense and Caleb Williams's errant throws, of course.
Yeah, that's obviously what I think on the last one with Odunze. But still, by the way, I thought Penix was good. I thought Penix was really good.
No
actually.
Sacks, right? The dude, you can't sack the guy, man. That's so valuable. I mean, you can't sack him.
No, yeah, pressure to sack rate was great. He did not go on the ground. That was super impressive. I thought he played decisive. I thought he delivered the ball from like the far hash to outbreaking routes extremely well.
Ugly pick, though. Ugly pick. Yeah, he should know better throwing to Pitts. He's got to learn. You know, he should know better. No, that was not even his fault. Obviously, Pitts turned a completion inside the five into an interception. No, Penix looked great, and there's no turning back now.
Kyle Pitts, man.
I know.
I don't even want to go down that road. But yeah, that was obviously brutal. So yeah, no, I feel really good about where Penix is right now. But dude, people don't even give Nate credit for that. People were saying that before Penix even like started with how these Seahawks or with how these Washington receivers were playing. Like, man, maybe Penix was actually just really, really good. And I do think Penix is going to be good. But yeah, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, back to that point. Allen only ran 57% of his routes from the slot in this game. That's been a thing all year long, which I actually don't think is great for Keenan Allen. I don't think it's really good for any. I don't like the way any of these receivers have been used, period, all year long. I think it's just been a problem. But yeah, Keenan's only been like a 55 to 60% slot player. I would say that and by the way, there's a difference between Keenan Allen's not the player he used to be and Keenan Allen is useless. He's not useless. He has been.
Right.
He's played some losing football for this team this year, but all these receivers have played losing football for this team this year. DJ Moore can't wait to get on vacation. His words, not mine. Roma Dunze has made some like real bad rookie mistakes and like he had some great contested grabs in this past game. He's let some other passes just slip through his hands that he absolutely should have grabbed. So it's like everybody's been at fault in this receiver room here, but I would still say that Keenan Allen's like long touchdown, that was more of a Lions defense issue and more less of a man Keenan Allen turning the clock back moment.
Yeah, okay, totally fair. But he's, man, just earning those targets. Well, DJ Moore, I believe entering last week, he led the NFL in wide receiver targets, which is always nice for fantasy. And then in turn, their running game, Braxton Jones is out. Tevin Jenkins is injured. The left side of their offensive line is devastated. DeAndre Swift was stuffed in the ground last week. Tough matchup, obviously, against Minnesota. But he was unfortunately tackled at the one yet again, DeAndre Swift, only to watch Cole Kmet catch a touchdown the next play. That actually marked Chicago's first point scored in the first half since week 12, Harmon. This team has been really benefiting from, I wouldn't call it garbage time, but definitely second half production.
Yeah, and they might have to do it again this week because, like we're talking about, this Bears defense is 32nd in passing dropback success rate allowed. Meanwhile, Seattle is 6th in overall EPA per play allowed. They're particularly good against the run. They're 7th in rushing success rate allowed. I would imagine that this is going to... I think the Bears can actually give up a pretty big lead to Seattle here, especially if JSN and Geno are cooking. Not a lot of pass rush coming from Chicago at this point. And then it's going to have to be another second half, like kind of garbage time, scammy stuff for the Bears offense. But like I said, I think that could still take this over the point total of 42.5. Even if it's not a good game, it's like a high scoring, a lot of potential interesting fantasy performances from this game. So I think if you got to start a Bear, it's probably Keenan Allen and DJ Moore in that order. But I'm not excited about this offense against this defense.
Fantasy points, schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed. You can break it down even to like the run and the receiving for the backs. And the Seahawks have been really vulnerable to receiving backs, but just bottom top three in rushing allowed the last five games. It's Ernest Jones trade. They've just been tough. So that could push volume again more Caleb's way. You know, just inability to run the ball whatsoever in a fading defense actually helps Caleb's volume as well. So maybe I'm wrong and it turns into Seahawks jump out to a bigger lead and Caleb does his work in the second half, as we've seen recently.
And hey, either way, one way or another, it will be a holiday miracle for all of us, because this is the last time we'll have to watch the 2024 Chicago Bears in an island game. So we're all the real winners of that. And with that, Dalton Del Don, I think that's about all we can say about these three games. We, unless you got anything else, I think we cracked them all the way open and we pulled out every thread we possibly could.
Now, man, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and good luck to everyone in your fantasy championships.
Hell yeah. Hopefully all of you listening are able to come away from Wednesday and Thursday with some pretty big early leads in all of your fantasy football finals. That would make my holiday. Okay, that's the best gift. The best gift you all could give me is to tell me on Thursday night how far ahead you are in your fantasy football finals. If you listen to this show and we said a bunch of dumb and we ruined your holiday, you don't need to let us know that. You can let producer Colin know. At producer Colin on Twitter. What is it? Is there an underscore? I don't know. I've got it muted, so it's hard to say. No, but on a serious note, yeah, you can make sure you let producer Colin know on Twitter about all your complaints with at producer Colin. That's all it is. Collin, producer Colin on Twitter about all of your issues with your fantasy lineup. That's the place that you can send that if you have complaints about the pod. But for the people who have good moments, share it with Dalton, share it with me on social media. We would love to be a part of your holiday joy. But with that is going to do it for today's show. Hell of an episode on these three holiday games. We will be back on Friday. Andy Behrens himself is going to join me to preview the Saturday and Sunday slate for week 17. Until then, Merry Christmas, and we are out.